T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. This is At Home Connecticut, hosted by Joey Burgoyne, highlighting events and happenings that are taking place in your home, Connecticut, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of At Home in Connecticut. I'm your host, Joey Burgoyne, and we spoke with this gentleman in the past, different season, so it's a different view. We're hearing it. You know, the bears and the birds and the bees and nature is out. Migrations are happening, or are they, at the rates we would be expecting? So we'll get into that this morning with Patrick Cummins, the executive director of the Connecticut Audubon Society. Sir, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, we'll start with like a safety warning, if you will. A lot of people were hearing in the news, it's bears, bird feeders. You know, do birds really need feeders this time of the year out? I know a lot of people want to support the birds and like watching the birds, but is that the correct thing to be doing at this time of the year?
Well, a lot of it depends on where you live, but if you live at all remotely in bear country, you know, it's just unfortunately that bears and bird feeders do not go hand in hand. For one, they're going to ruin your bird feeder, and two, it sort of attracts them into your yard and can cause, be a recipe for trouble.
Now, if people do want to, you know, bird watch, experience wildlife in their own backyard, are there some things people can do, and what type of birds can we expect, or how do we draw those certain type of birds or help those birds this time of the year?
Sure. Gardening is a great way if that is at all an option for you. There are certain flowers that will attract hummingbirds, anything that's red and tube-shaped, cardinal flower being one of them, bee balm being another favorite, the native trumpet honeysuckles, the trumpet vine, if you have a big enough place for that, that will attract hummingbirds. And, depending on where you live, and your setup, hummingbird feeders, sometimes bears will come after the hummingbird feeder, sometimes they won't, but that is one thing that you can put out during the warmer months, as long as you're very diligent about keeping the feeders clean. You make sure that the water doesn't get cloudy in them. Basically, it's you can look it up on online for a formula for sugar water for hummingbirds, and you can make it yourself with sugar and water.
And that's it. It's just sugar and water. I have 3 hummingbird feeders at our campground, and it's just sugar and water. You don't put the dyes in. They're not beneficial. Just plain sugar and water.
Right, right. And I really am a proponent for, whatever you can, whenever you can, to put out some flowers along with your bird feeders, because that gives them a little bit of variety of nectar. It's not just necessarily empty calories in the sugar water, and also increases the chances that you're going to get hummingbirds visiting your feeders.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have, like I said, I have 3 hummingbird feeders at our campground, and this is kind of a self-serving question. This year, and I don't know if it's different or if I'm just more attuned to it, but we have a lot of orioles at our campground. And for some reason, one of the orioles is infatuated with one of my orange hummingbird feeders. I don't know if it's an identity crisis thing or what this oriole's doing, but is infatuated with an orange hummingbird feeder.
Now, orioles, they actually make oriole feeders that are similar to hummingbird feeders that just have some perches alongside of them. And orioles will come in for sugar water. They'll also come in for things like raisins and mealworms and orange halves and things like that. But again, you know, it all depends on your bear situation and whether you can do this, you know, without attracting bears as well.
Yeah, it's one thing, luckily, I guess you could say at our campground, we've never, knock on wood, had too many bear sightings. But I mean, that's the thing. The orioles, they're a vibrant orange, and everyone mistakes them, in my mind, for a robin. They are completely different birds. So, you know, that leads me into, if people do want to and are interested in learning about observing and watching the birds, besides the Connecticut Audubon Society, I know a lot of people that everything's an app based now. Is there like a good thing in your mind that you recommend people try out, or a good way for people to learn in the field on the fly, if you will?
Yeah, there are a lot of resources out there right now in terms of apps. I like the Sibley Guide that has a really good artwork of the birds, pointing out the key field marks and what you should look for in identifying it. And it also has examples of songs of the birds that they can play. It's you know, you kind of have to get an idea of what you think the sound is, and then you can play it. But there's a new app, or a new tool at least on an app called Merlin, where it's actually using artificial intelligence, where you can take a picture of a bird and it can give you a guess as to what the bird is. And you can also even do recordings and it will tell you what birds it thinks it is hearing. And with some degree of accuracy, I wouldn't, you know, take it for 100%. You know, it says I have a junco in my yard and a painted bunting. Really what it gives you an idea is to narrow it down what to be looking for.
That's actually Oriole the one I pen. Use, the Merlin one.
Right, right. And
there's,
you know,
we had this, it's this little ornament we have outside of our campsite. It's a camper, and we just hung it up a few years back because it was a neat decoration. But a bird decided, hey, I like it too, and wanted to make its nest in it. In the past 3 years, we put out this little birdhouse, and I don't know if it's the same bird, but it's definitely the same type of bird. And I was like, what is this little bird? Everyone's like, oh, it's a chickadee. I was like, well, there's got to be something. So I had downloaded their Merlin app, did the sound recording, and it's a house wren. But it's the loudest little bird I've ever come accustomed to.
They are quite loud for their size.
So, it is. There's lots of different things, you know, and that's one of the things in this state we've talked in the future, the mass of bird species there are in this tiny little state.
Yeah, 450 different kinds of birds have been seen in Connecticut, which is pretty impressive for a state of our size. And right now, migration is winding. Spring migration is, well, we're still in the midst of spring migration, and it's been a fairly poor spring migration. A lot of people have been contacting me and saying, where are the birds? Where are the birds? And I say, well, they're out in Ohio. and if you can actually look on radar, if you can find an unfiltered radar site, you can actually see the birds as they fly. They fly mostly nocturnally. And as the sun sets on these unfiltered weather radar screens, you see these green blobs start to form. And then as the sun starts coming up, they start to contract and disappear. And it gives you an idea of where the migration is going on. And there's actually a website called Birdcast, and it's from Cornell. And it gives you migration forecasts. Really cool to check out. Gives you live migration maps. It gives you an idea of where to expect high amounts of migration and low amounts of migration. And even there's bird forecast migration maps now.
Now, you know, we've been going through this whole pandemic now almost 3 years. Have you seen more interest from people wanting to learn and taking interest in bird watching?
Oh, absolutely. Bird watching and bird photography. and just generally getting out in nature is a lot more popular. We found that our trails are more popular than ever. We have 21 sanctuaries across the state, more than 3,400 acres that we manage, and miles and miles of trails. Some of our best spots up in Pomfret. We have a really beautiful preserve up there with a lot of nesting grassland birds, our Bathlin Sanctuary. In Hampton, we have our Trailwood Sanctuary. In Goshen, we have our Cross Sanctuary, although that one's a little bit more rustic, and it's higher elevation and hills. But once you get back in there, it's not meant to be the trails aren't well marked. You have to kind of be a little bit more savvy about your nature navigational skills to visit Croft than some of the others. But once you're back in there, it's like a different feel. It's like you're up in Vermont or Hampshire rather than in Connecticut.
I'll say, is that one of the things, you know, we have a lot of geographical different regions in Connecticut. Is that beneficial to being, you know, a bird watcher or photographer?
Yeah, it is. And that's one of the reasons why we have such a wide variety of species that have been observed in Connecticut. We have sort of the Appalachian ecotone that gets into just Western Connecticut, including at our Deer Pond Farm Sanctuary, which is our largest sanctuary, 850 acres, and that's in Sherman and Pawling, New York. And that has some of our best maintained trails in the state. It was an old estate of the Riston family and Kathy and Walter Riston, and they donated it along with some money to be able to maintain it. And we, maintain the trails that they had already had on the on their property. So that one's got some of our nicest trails. We also have our Birdcraft Sanctuary in Fairfield, which is a great place to visit in migration time. We do also bird banding there, there's some nets up, and we ask that people, not pause too long in front of the nets. And definitely do not touch the nets, which is you need federal permits in order to touch the nets. But that's more, the southern coastal ecotone in Connecticut. Our Croft Preserve is sort of representing the northern New England ecotone of Connecticut. So we're at this juxtaposition of three different ecotones, sort of the southern New England coastal systems, like our Milford, our Old Lyme, and our Fairfield sites, the Appalachian habitats, which is far western Connecticut, getting into Kent and Sherman areas, and then northern New England, which gets into just the northeast, the higher elevation areas of northeast Connecticut and much of northwest Connecticut.
And that's, there's so many different, areas of Connecticut. You can get more information, ctautobahn.org. That's CTAUDUBON.org. There's a calendar of events. You guys always have things going on. I mean, there's so many, like I said, there's so many species in Connecticut. The migration, it changes depending on the season, depending on the weather. People should just get outside, observe nature. There's so much to offer in our tiny little state. Again, joining me this morning here on At Home in Connecticut, Patrick Cummins, the Executive Director of the Connecticut Audubon Society. Sir, I appreciate you taking the time. I hope more people get out there, observe the birds, and just take in everything that we have to offer right here at home in Connecticut.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC News Talk 1080.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.